This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
You're listening to the best of FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Hello, Volkswagen.
Sat opposite me in the studio today is the very lovely Lucy Peach. Me personally, like, I love a skinny guy, and I think that's beautiful. I think all bodies are beautiful. So I get that, you know, you feel insecure about your body and you might want to cover it up, but, like, I don't want you to.
I think when you really consider why we're all feeling insecure, it's because we've just been sold this bullcrap that you have to look a certain way and be a certain way. On Instagram, I follow a lot of body positive sort of pages, and, you know, the first time I saw someone posting her stretch marks or a cellulite, I sort of thought, oh yeah, that's for her, I guess. I don't know that I could do that. But after like a year of looking at this stuff and seeing it and digesting it, now I believe it.
Every Wednesday,
Helen Volkswagen,
from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Today, I'm joined by the absolutely stunning Andrea Gibson.
If I had my way, I'd be writing love poems all the time. I love writing love poems, particularly queer love poems, because they weren't things that I had access to growing up. You know, I didn't have a lot of queer art around me, and I know the importance of talking about queerness and also celebrating queerness and talking about the light. Because, you know, so often we tend to talk about the difficulty, which is real, it exists, but I love the idea of young kids seeing that you can grow up to live a beautiful, loving life as a queer person. So that's a lot about what my writing is. I talk about feminism, patriarchy, classism, racism, all of that.
All the things.
All the things.
And you just released a poetry anthology, I believe.
Yeah, I just put out a new book called Lord of the Butterflies.
Amazing. I think what's really lovely about everything you just said is that kind of queerness should be a celebration. And I think so often, you know, we see, you know, movies about LGBT plus people or a story in a TV show or a theatre show or whatever, and so much of the time they kind of dwell in that negative space. And obviously it's important to talk about those things, you know, because there are all these issues and we should be addressing them. But I do think we need to spend a little bit more time on the celebration side of things. You know, I think that's why pride is so important. Yeah. We need to be showing, you know, younger generations of LGBT plus people or just LGBT plus people in general that, you know, life is amazing. It's great for queer people as well. Right. It's not all misery and doom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that what you can imagine is important. So to, you know, to put our attention on the things that have changed for the better and you know, the beauty of the community and the connection, the love, all of it. We want young people imagining a bright future for themselves in spite of, you know, the hardships throughout, because, of course, you know, there are struggles, there are things to overcome that maybe straight folks don't have to overcome. Yeah. But I think the celebration is important.
Absolutely. And what was it that made you kind of fall on love poems? Was there a specific trigger for that?
They're just, you know, they're so, I am a very slow writer. I could spend a month on a poem, and that means a month, like 12 hours a day,
yeah,
just writing.
Wow.
But with love poems, they just have always just fell out of me. They are when I just feel most alive and most like I'm following my own purpose. They're to be in appreciation. They're poems of gratitude. Even when they're breakup poems, you know, I don't think I've ever written a bitter breakup poem. Not that I didn't have one in me, but I just I didn't want to put it out there. Breakup poem can be a celebration as well.
I love that. I've always been a person who has kind of thought, you know, I like seeing as exes as a good thing, or even if they're terrible exes, you know, you can still celebrate that relationship, and it's coming to a close.
Yeah, I heard this thing in New York. There are these some company that throws divorce parties.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so when people break up, the way that you used to, you know, have a wedding to celebrate getting together, it's this big, you know, celebration of the goodbye. All your friends come together, your family members, and they honor the time you had together and the parting.
So is that, would the party be for you as an individual, or would it be for both parties there together.
Both together.
I love that.
It's because, really sweet, huh?
Yeah, because I've always seen like divorce as this like really angry thing where, you know, two people are screaming and shouting at each other and hating each other. But why can't it be? You know what? We've had a lovely time.
Yeah.
And it's time to move on. Let's throw
and
a party.
It's over. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I get a lot of heat from my straight friends because all of my best friends are my ex-girlfriends. Yeah. And I think it's something that might be really specific to the queer community in that, you know, so many of us have, we lose so much of, you know, often we lose our families when we come out, you know. And so I think when we find people that we choose as our family, we'll really fight to maintain those relationships in our lives afterwards and at least part in a cordial way. And that doesn't mean every relationship is healthy to have a, you know, stay in touch. But for lots of them, I think.
And do you think a lot of your sexuality, gender identity is present in your work? Do you really lean into that?
Yeah, it's all through it, actually. Even when I try to, it's sort of like Jesus. Jesus finds his way into all my poems. Somehow, Jesus has made his way in there. Maybe it's because I think Jesus might be pretty genderqueer. But I'm going to get in trouble.
I'm very intrigued by that thought.
Don't you think? Who, I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I see it.
Yeah, I see it. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm Robert White. I'm a comedian. Britain's Got Talent. Gay, Asperger's. Fubar was my best experience ever at a radio station near Caledonian Road. So many radio stations near Caledonian Road sort of like fall slightly under par. But this one was lovely. They gave me cake. They gave me coffee. They gave me roast dinners. And they really buttered me up so that I tell all the dirt about David and Simon and Alicia and the other one who I can't remember, Amanda. Their questions were intuitive and insightful and engaging. And they were probably... No, definitely the most beautiful radio presenters I've ever seen. You know, there's this one cliche that you should have a face for radio, but their face was the face of a Hollywood starlet. It was stunning how beautiful and gorgeous they both were. And I'm in tears as I think that I will not be able to set sight on them ever again. But that's just something I'm going to have to come to terms with. Thank you, Fubar, for having me. You have been beautiful and you didn't make me feel like a fool.
Fubar Radio presents...
Molesworth. We are joined now by Caroline Sheen. Hello, Caroline. We're going to talk about 9 to 5, the musical. No, I was watching that Dolly Parton was there and there was a big reveal of her on the stage.
Yeah.
She felt exciting, even though I don't know much about Dolly Parton. I still felt the excitement of that.
She's an absolute legend. I mean, that woman, she came over for like 3 or 4 days to promote the show.
Yeah.
And then the next day was our opening night and she came on stage and spoke to everyone. And then she came off in the wings with the three of us girls and she wasn't with her like security people. And so she could speak really freely to us and she was so lovely and supportive. And she was like, I want to come see it again, but without all these people.
Every Monday,
Ian Molesworth
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined by Robert Emsworth. So, Robert, are we talking about Chernobyl? Because it's been proper hammered by Sky, hasn't it? Like, they're really whacking it out.
Yeah.
They're behind it.
They really are behind it. It's a really big, epic show.
Is it purely factual? Is it dramatised?
Yes. There is obviously some dramatisation in it, okay. But it's, really kind of very factual and very detailed. The guy, Craig Mazin, who created it, written it, you know, he's done an immense amount of research, which they actually forwarded to all of the actors and everyone in the production to kind of wade through all of that research material. So that's what we did. And so, it's very, very, very detailed.
How old are you? Was it in your lifetime?
I am 32, 33 in a week.
So is it just within your lifetime?
It's just when I was born a month before. It was the 26th of April that it happened. I was born a month before. So my mum actually was gardening in the garden. She was worried about touching the soil. She was
really,
people were freaking out.
I had a weird reaction when I saw it because I was like, oh, that's too soon for that. That's honestly what I thought.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, God, no, it was. It's been
a long time ago.
There's always a little discomfort for me with real-life things being made into dramas and stuff. There was one recently about the Warrington bomb, which I actually found out, listen to this for a 7 Steps of Separation, where it was called, I found out that the dramatisation about the Warrington bomb was written by the brother of a girl that was in my class at school, when I was at school, called Nick Leather, he's a writer called Nick Leather. Apparently he's very, really successful now, Nick Leather. But the younger brother of her wrote it, And the Warrington bomb quite deeply affected. I'm from Warrington, like it's where I was brought up, it's where I was born. I always say St. Helens, but it's where I was born. And it directly affected my family because my brother's best friend was killed in it, in the Warrington bomb. So watching that, which I found that very difficult, like hugely difficult as someone personally affected by it, even on the periphery of it. My brother was far more affected, obviously. Mm. Even on the periphery of that, to be so affected. And I questioned again then, is it right to do this? Is it right to... Because they like recreated the funeral and stuff. I was like, was that a funeral? It was like really jarring for me.
Yeah. Right. I think there's a lot of desire on TV for true crime stuff or real stories. Yeah. And I know what you mean. Sometimes it does feel a bit, you know... I think if there's a clear point to it, you know...
Yeah.
I've also just finished something called The Barking Murders, which is based on a true crime thing as well. Okay. And that's a similar thing. It's a very sensitive subject. But there's a real point to it about the justice around story and for the victims and the next of kin of the victims.
Well, Hillsborough was another one. Jimmy McGovern did the Hillsborough film, which was, again, hugely impactful. And again, something you watch and you go, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this.
Yeah.
Yet the knock-on effect, which can be directly traced to that film as well as many other things as well,
yeah,
really did end up bringing
quite powerful, brought it through. Yeah, I think with Chernobyl, I mean, that obviously a lot, I mean, there's a lot of survivors from Chernobyl, but there's obviously a lot of people who didn't survive and people who have also living with terminal illnesses because of it. I think the kind of broader story of, you know, like corruption and truth being suppressed by politicians and, you know, things like that are kind of themes that are really relevant today. And I think this kind of story is kind of a moment in history which kind of serves as a reminder that what happens if you, you know, if you bury the truth.
What should we do?
It's pretty depressing. Let's have a gin.
Well, they keep waving the gin bottle at me, saying, do you want me to bring the gin in? I was like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, make the gins.
Oh, yeah, we need the tonic. You can't
have the tonic. Is there no tonic?
There's no tonic.
No.
Well, can we send someone to the shop and get some tonic? I noticed that it's open again now. Let's go and get some tonic as
when
well.
When they go to the loo, don't they, and they shut the shop.
Is that what happens?
Because there's only one person in there at a time, so they can't really leave it open whilst they... Shop across the road.
I noticed it was shut when I arrived.
Yeah, that's what it'll be.
She's not gone for a wee or a poo. Could be either.
Could be.
Why don't we go and get some tonic and ask him if he had a wee or a poo?
Don't do that. Do not ask the poor person in there.
What?
He'll be barred, almost certainly barred. I saw
for what?
It. Did you go for a wee or a poo? I'd bar someone for asking that.
You're not asking them if he's done something illegal.
No, but it's a bit personal, isn't it?
It's personal. But
inappropriate.
Also, it's complicated. Sometimes it, you know. Sometimes.
Well, I've said this many times, but I'll let you in on it. You can't have a wee or a poo. You can only have a wee or a poo in a wee.
That's very
You can't have a wee or a poo. That's impossible. If you do a poo, you will do a wee as well. I presume it's kind of a humourless piece, this.
Yeah, there's not much. Yeah.
How's that going to work to that every day? And I presume it's actually quite graphic. Is it quite graphic?
It's quite graphic. It's very intense. It's quite hard to watch, but it's very compelling and cinematic.
Yeah. And we got that then. Yeah, we all got that.
Even
though half was a piss, we still got that.
But yeah, I mean, there are moments. There are a couple of characters that, you know, have more of a comic element, I suppose. But it's not, obviously, it's very subtle because it's not like Carry on Chernobyl, you know. Well, that would be actually very funny.
I wouldn't be beyond. Submitting a script that was that. Okay.
No.
You know, we've had all the grit of the Chernobyl series. Let's do another one now, but like a bit more lighthearted.
Maybe put some musical numbers in there as well. That would be quite nice.
Yeah.
Honestly, don't push me down that path. If I'm not thinking straight, please don't push me down that. I don't want a Twitter.
Well, I was just thinking before that it would also be educational for some people because the younger people in this office, there are a few, had not been aware of what it is or what had happened or when it happened.
So
it would be a good.
Well, I knew about it, but I didn't know the extent of it, and I never really looked into it. I mean, you sort of learnt about it at school, but very briefly, I think, didn't you? But like looking into it with all this stuff, I was like, wow, it's unbelievable. And the photographs there now, and they talk about the wildlife there now is like thriving really much more in an environment without human beings, but with radioactive
kind of is that right?
Poisoning, pollution than it would be with human pollution.
Wow. So really lovely chatting with you, man.
Thank you for tolerating us.
Hello, my name's Will Attenborough. Just been on the Ian Boldsworth show. It was my second time doing it. I didn't actually know I was going to be on the Ian Boldsworth show. They told me I was going to be on something else. I was quite relieved to see Ian and Natalie because I knew how disgusting and awful they are. So I was prepared for what was going to happen. It was a lot of fun. What I like about the show is you can talk about whatever you like. You can swear. That's always fun. I would ask you, though, to please tell Ian to stop contacting me, and I've changed my number, I've changed my email address. If you could not pass my new details on to him, I'd be very grateful. Thank you.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
And I'm very excited to be talking to Kelsey and Nick from Local Natives. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Letterman was fun. I had an interesting situation at the end of our set. He's like, oh, where are you guys from? And here, I'll go over here so like it makes sense. So I was just like, Silver Lake! He's like, cool, thanks. And then he leaves.
Maybe to make you feel better, we'll do the reverse. So I'm going to get you to ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, where are you from?
Bexley Heath! Right, you got to represent where you're from.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Time to welcome into the studio Connor and Bros from The Nude Party. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Joey. It's good to be here. I love you, FUBAR.
Good. Clearly a big big listener, right?
Bros? Not so much. I don't have access to
it. It's the only thing I listen to.
Yeah. Bros, is this available on the internet? What's wrong with you, man?
What?
You can get it on the internet all the time.
Oh, fantastic.
So, no excuse. I've read that basically your EP that you had was produced by the drummer from the Black Lips.
That's crazy.
In return for hard labor. All right, so can we start there?
Well, he is our landlord. He is our roommate. He is our best friend. He is our spiritual guru, Oakley Munson.
Yeah.
We had met him in North Carolina a number of years ago in the formative years of our group.
Yeah.
And he stuck with us long enough to invite us to move up to his upstate New York house once he had acquired it. And it's been history ever since.
And is this the place up in the Catskill Mountains? Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. He'd get a kick out of hard labor, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do enough around the house in his eyes.
Does he give you chores to do?
Yeah, there's always something to do.
It's a house. It requires maintenance, like a good relationship with a car or with a woman or, you know, anything.
Or a goat.
Or a goat.
So what sort of chores are, like, do you have a cleaning rota? How does it work?
Mostly, it's in, like, maintenance of the land.
Okay.
So, dredging.
Agriculture.
Yeah.
Agriculture, dredging trenches.
Slashing and burning. Watering the plants.
Dragging brush.
Yeah.
Fencing in animals.
Hiding dead bodies.
And who has to hide the bodies?
That's usually Bros.
Yeah.
I'm
looking at
I'm
the steely
at
cold blue-eyed stare of Bros and thinking that he's the body hider.
Oh, those are just context.
It's pretty obvious. But.
And so basically, you were up there almost in sort of isolation to make an album.
Yeah.
This kind of culminated over about 6 years of work. So, yeah, tell us a bit more. Give us a bit more detail on the.
Well, we recorded it. That was like one of the first things we did when we moved upstate. We had been planning on recording this album for a while. We did a little pre-production at the house, just kind of fine-tuning all the songs. And then
a lot of fat trimming.
Yeah, a lot of fat trimming. That's really where Oakley was pretty essential in the process. And then we went to a studio a little bit outside of Woodstock, like an hour and a half from my house, and recorded it live in about 3 days.
A dreamland. It's an old renovated church.
Oh,
where
cool.
Very cool.
They've taken all the pews and all the other otherwise churchly things, and where would be like the congregation room is just a big open floor plan room that they separate into recording cubicles.
Right.
Big stained glass windows.
Amazing. And
a holy
so
rock.
You recorded it in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So did you like rehearse loads in advance, and did you use quite a lot of the first takes, or how did it go if you're recording an album live?
I think the majority of the tracks was done pretty much entirely in like the first 3 or 4 takes.
Yeah.
Because after that, like if it got, you know, late into the evening and we had drinking and smoked too much, it starts to lose the magic of just having your first live hot off the track. Yeah. We had done like demos and like had pre-produced for like weeks before.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've been playing the songs for about 6 years.
Yeah, so. Right.
So I think we were.
But that's kind of remarkable because if you've been doing the songs for a number of years, but then it sounds so like raw and like fresh on the album, which obviously comes from you recording it live. But you can really hear that sort of freshness. It's really great and sounds like a very important record and. Like a very sort of like immediate, like you get it and it's great and it gets straight into your head, and I really like it. And some very sort of strange lyrics and strange titles and things like that. So where does that come from? I mean, obviously, I'm finding out from this interview so far that you guys have got like a really good sense of humour. But what do you draw on for the inspiration for the lyrics and stuff?
Patton does most of the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Patton being a lead singer and guitarist who is not with us today. Not dead, just asleep somewhere in Wimbledon.
Rest in peace.
But I think he takes a lot of influence from sci-fi and science fiction. Yeah, yeah. He's super into Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, loves the dick.
And he loves Philip K. Dick. Has he seen the program? I don't know if you would have got it in America, but Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams.
I'm sure he knows about
it. Yeah.
He's
about a really good series on Channel 4. He's polished off most of the dick.
Yeah.
He's
a dick polisher.
He's really good at polishing the dick.
We'll definitely soundbite that for something later. And you guys also have done some... I'm almost a bit reticent to do this because I think it puts a bit of a... takes the shine off of you guys because I think you're genuinely a really great band. But you've done some like amazing support slots as well. Sunflower Bean, Jack White, Arctic Monkeys. Did you like get to sort of build up any kind of relationship with any of those bands, or... is there anything cool that you learnt from doing those support slots? Or is it kind of like you just go and do your thing and then go and have a good time, you don't really worry about it?
The Arctic Monkeys are great, great folks. Uh-huh. They love to hang out. They play pool. They drink liquor. They're good people.
Yeah.
Jack White we got to spend very little time with. He likes Devo.
Really loud Devo.
And before he performs, his warm-up routine is that he goes to a corner of his green room, and he kind of assumes like a pencil position, and he jumps up and down, and he goes, yip, 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 and he kind of hypes himself up.
He's a big man, too. He's about 6 foot
five.
Yeah,
he is. He
looks like an NFL linebacker.
He's a Hulk, isn't he? Yeah.
You're listening to Football Radio.
F-boy. Yo. Your host for the day. Don't let me waste my money. No. I see a new bar. I can make half. Make new money. Now I got a new laugh. Ha. Music is paying me well, so I ain't gonna be the one to go and find a new craft. I'm a rat, if it ain't for you, find a new path. If you can't hack it, better find a new class. Triple A gone, gotta find a new pass. Advise me not to do it when I'm buying new cars.
All I really want is money in my pocket, cash in my hand, oh, Skrilla in my wallet. All I really want is money in my pocket, cash in my hand, and Skrilla in my wallet. Yeah.
John gets one, he puts away half. So when I get one, I'm gonna put away half. I make money slow, I make money fast, then I'm back to the hood so I can have the last laugh. Still laughing, cause I know I'm not a half heart. When we release, we don't want a half chart. The IQ's high, some of them are half smart, but I do it like Brunson, hard days graph.
All I really want is money in my pocket, cash in my pocket.
Year and the year after, why he's a martyr, like Sean Carter and Dwayne Carter. But next year I'm gonna step up a gear and go harder. You know me, I'm a master, I cause disaster. Anywhere on earth, find money like anywhere I search. Plus anywhere I learnt the ropes, I earned the right to go. Choose any stage, anywhere I work, anywhere I am alert. Got vision, made my decision, wouldn't wanna get schooled by a king with vision.
All I really want is money in my pocket, cash in my pocket.
FUBAR Radio presents Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
The fucking king of R&B for me, Donald Jones, man.
You know, appreciate it. Love ain't going nowhere. You know, that's universal. That's God.
Yeah.
So that's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We can all get sex and all of that. You know, we can talk about that, but the love, the makeup, relationships, breakup, those things, that's going to happen.
Yeah. So my friend Millie says, I want to know why he doesn't make music for us anymore. Who have I got to sleep with to get a 2019 joint?
I don't know who you have to sleep with, but I mean, you will get a 2019 joint, that's for sure.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
This is Kira Keller, and that's Grim over there.
We're in the building. We've got one of my favourite grime MCs, man. He's more than a grime MC to me, but we'll get into that. But a guy like Reels, man.
My brother, what are you telling me?
What are you saying, bro? You're right.
Yes, Reels.
Nice, how you doing, bro?
I'm
how
nice,
you doing?
What are you telling me, G?
Well, all right, what are you saying? You just jumped off tour with Getcha?
Yeah, man, it's been all right. You get me?
What's the experience? How was that for an experience,
come
bro?
On, man. Like,
that was looking hot. That was looking sick up there, man.
Energy is nuts, my brother.
So what did you gain off that, bro?
I learned that I need to somehow get a live band.
Oh, you want to make that switch to a live band?
Not even that switch. I want to mix it and match it. So I know that half live band, because the live band sound is crazy.
It brings something different, isn't it?
Different, man.
Different energy,
yeah,
innit?
Different element. Yeah, I learned that I'm not as fit as I thought I was on stage.
Nah, okay. Yeah. That's the best performer you're going to be around, bro. Boy, there's not better performer than Getcha, bro.
Trust me.
And the words he gets out is... And he's jumping around and the breathing
and
technique.
And clarity is amazing.
His diction's crazy.
Is amazing. So was it a good experience for you?
Yeah, man. Each show was a bit different for me. I was just learning my set and how I would transition. It's not just jumping on the mic and doing tune after tune. It's actually how you transition, how you communicate with the fans, especially because they came to see Getcha, so I had to hype it up, number one. Mm. And number two, make it look like, not like I'm shy or anything, but make it look like, right, I'm ready for this, you ready for this, da, 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 and gain new fans from that, and then on to the next.
And have you gained new fans from that experience?
100%, man. On that tour, I got like 500 extra followers.
Wicked.
And that wasn't even me plugging my socials. I should have gone ham. That was just me.
That's always an afterthought when you're full of energy, though. How many shows did you do?
We've done like 5 shows.
Nice. Enough for you to want to do more.
It was a bit mad, though, because like, the first show was like straight into it. Not O2, Islington Academy. Packed straight into it. I'm like, I've never been nervous for shows, innit? But these times, man was nervous because I'm the first performer as well.
It's always better when they do the London one as the main flagship show at the end. Because then
I prefer at London at the end as well.
Yeah, I prefer that as well still.
But see, for me, Reels, I've been following you for a long time.
My buddy,
but I know a lot about you. Now, I would say you started off in the grime scene, but I would say today you've expanded and you show me a lot more than grime.
Yeah,
I would say you're still dipping in grime. I'd say that's still in your blood, but I've definitely said you spread your wings and you've done so much genres, bro, like recently, and you've been expressing yourself. How would you say that you've grown as an artist recently?
From day, I've always like dibbled and dabbled in like different genres. I just feel like as coming up on like for what I was known as grime, I was like in a very angry place anyway. Yeah, not to say that that's what grime.
I thought it was quite easy for you to grime though. You can slap it anytime you're ready.
I can slap. I got some grime stuff coming as it goes, innit?
Okay.
So I might as well just say it anyway. I'm just lining up something now with Shorty.
Yeah,
produced by Jamie. So like, I'm just gonna line up a few things. But like basically what it is, not that I find it a bit difficult, but you know like when you've grown up, I find it hard for me to express the rage and anger. I'm still in the hood. I'm not doing madness, I'm still around I'm trying to just show growth in my music, you know what I'm saying?
But I remember you was probably one of the first MCs I seen get co-signed by Skepta. Because we're in the same generation, right?
We're
on the same Lord of the Max.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. We all come from the same class, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you was the first MC that I really seen get co-signed by Skepta. You know, I know Skepta's a big fan of you. So from then, I kind of thought, all right, I looked at you in a different light. And I'm seeing you growing now. What it took from now to then, I'm seeing you definitely in your best form now, man.
Some people don't think that, but
I know that, bro, in work rate,
I feel like I'm putting in more work than I've ever ever done, and I'm treating music as my baby, like something precious to me.
It's so good when you get your rhythm, isn't it?
But you're actually better than a lot of MCs as well. The numbers don't lie. The JDZs.
Love my guy, man.
But we got Suffolk though with Mike Skinner.
Come on, man.
No one knows that yet.
We got Suffolk with Mike Skinner coming
He's the one that said to me, "This what happened, right?" He gave me the beat, and he said, and I vocaled it, and he goes, "Oh, Grim, I want to get MC on it," and he goes, "Do you know Reels?" I said, yeah, of course I do reels. Yeah. He goes, ask reels if he wants a job. So I didn't say your name. He said to me, go and get reels. And he vocaled it, slapped me on the rhythm.
When I heard it, it was wavy. You get me? Because he came with a wave. I couldn't come with a wave like that, innit? So I thought, you know what? Let me try, like, come with like some bars and stuff. Like, it was.
That's gonna be a good song when it comes out, isn't it?
It's wavy, man.
I'm just waiting for Mike to shoot the video.
He said he's waiting for you.
No way, did he?
I swear to God.
Oh, no way.
I'm joining him out.
Tell him I'm ready, man.
We're ready, innit?
Yeah. Do you want to spray some bars, bro?
Let's do a quick one, you get me? So many man wanna be this best MC on the scene where I'm way past that. Anybody firing shots, I will pay visits, so think twice before you start that. See those guys over there with the grease, still acting bad, they're the ones we laugh at. Anyways, I need M's. Anything man gets mums, he's gonna get half that. Once I start, I won't quit. Keep it calm, I won't flip. If I back it out, I won't miss. Dog, I stand my ground, I don't sit. So how you talking, watch all the time, just show me your shooter. I'm like, show me your shooter. I know the codes on the road, but the codes you know. With the promo code for your Uber, I'm gonna move devilish like 360s. You ain't original, like remixes. Crack cocaine every time I spit this. Meant to discard, man, no, I'm twisted. Threw me the script one time, I flipped it. Who's on this fake nigga shit, I missed it. You can try and call my bluff, but that will be up, up. And away, man, get lifted. Would you really take this, four man's gifted? I never shit bricks, taking a piss, taking a biscuit. I walk round there on my Jack Jones, that's 10 toes up when I could've whipped it. Man can't tell me about risk, I risked it. You ain't about that life, I lived it. I just battered and bruised and kicked it. They never chose me, though, I picked it. You're done, though. Calm that work.
And that was crazy. Slapped up, Killer Keller Reels exclusive.
You're done, though. Yes.
Hey, I'm Eli Cherry, and I just finished being a guest on Michael Payne and Marcel's show, and I had a fantastic time. I got a chance to play my new single, Streets of You, which I want you to check out. And we also played a game that brought me down memory lane. I got to hear a lot of old tunes from the past. Unfortunately, I didn't win. But next time, when I come back, I'm going to win. See you then.
Tuesday Takeover with Dr. Vates on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, 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 yo. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Vates. Yeah, everyone clap your hands, mate.
So right now, this is our first show on FUBAR Radio. Hopefully, we're going to have a lot more. So right now, that's speaking right now is Doctor.
And this is JV. Wait, hold on. So what do I call you on air? Because at home, mate, I call you by your government.
You call me Doctor, innit?
Doctor.
Yeah.
Cool. So obviously in the... What's the name again?
In the studio.
Obviously, we got two of my friends. Come on.
You're a strong man.
Yes. One by the name of Cash and one by the name of...
Crits, man. Free.
Or a.k.a. Darren.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Oh, you're a rapper, yeah?
Artist, everything.
Do a quick freestyle.
On what though?
Yeah, on what?
What? Fam, what do you mean on what? On live, fam?
Yeah, what? Acapella?
No, man's got a beat there, bro.
What beat?
Fam, don't let me do this thing.
Oh
what?
My gosh.
You what, freestyle thing,
yeah?
You
got me scarred. Yeah, go on, let's do it.
All right, cool.
Cheers! Okay.
Hey, I have to remember my bars.
Oh, now you don't remember your bars. Exclusive Dr. Vates Productions.
Got 100 and big, mate.
No.
5, 6, 7.
Yo, man do shows and shell. Man raise heat, that's hell. Where I come from, niggas die or fail. You can lose or live, that's a LOL. Yeah, man don't tell no joke. Left man dry, man never been soaked. Yeah, coming like 420. Boy, just now I want all the smoke. Yeah, big 4-5 and it's big black. It goes click clack before we clip that. My queens or air forces. I like bouncer, the girls dig that. Yeah. Me and Lizzie in love. It's no mismatch, it's a big match. We got gift gaff and we ain't talk abs when we talk about six packs. Hey. Rock it, drop it, sell it. Shoot it, film it, edit. Yeah, I use dirty money. To pay direct debit. We fuck the money up and we about to double up. And you are not one of us. And we on a way. Chicks in the lift and they. Check. Yeah. Pull up skirt. Ayy. Pull up first. Never come second in a race. Cause that's the one to lose first. My dog just came from the Grammys. And now I got put in that work. Spent 9 bills on a jacket. Got stuck, duck, goose on a bird. I got a thing for Aaliyah Maria. 07572 if I see her. My team roll long like Nia. Dog and it might get long if I see her.
Yeah.
Wild. My foot's wild.
Wild.
My G's on trial. Trial. Why? Defense got files. Files.
Yeah.
It's your way, and I'm free.
Yeah, I was gonna clap, but I'll give you an applause here, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
Official.
I'm saying, come prepared all the time, man. You feel me?
Official. Yeah, no, hey, still.
You're all right. You can do a little 1-2 thing there.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm not even all right. I'm eesh.
Hey, you're what?
To the fret.
Yeah.
Fubar Radio presents Access All Areas.
I have a new co-host tonight, Alex Mark. Another hot guest in the studio.
Sophie Herman, the German from Made in Chelsea.
Oh, here he is, Miles. That's not what I
meant.
Miles
timing.
Enters the room.
Situations, though, when you go to the same bar and there's multiple girls that you're dating.
It's actually quite funny you say that, because we went to Bluebird and I was dating this girl, and then I didn't realise the other girl came to the bar and they were friends. I had no idea.
Oh my God.
That's an awkward conversation for them to have.
Hit away.
So how
sweaty
do you
palms straight away. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Do you want a drink? I'll go to the bar.
Every Thursday, 6 p.m. on Fubar Radio.
I am back, having been away for 3 weeks. I've been in the Philippines, and Lizzie Cundy, once again, she cannot make it to the show. But to be fair, with fairly good reason, she is at Buckingham Palace.
I mean, she is at the palace. You can't really go wrong with her.
So this is the very gorgeous Ellie Phillips.
Woo-woo, I'm back in.
You're back in. You obviously did such a good job last time.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It was so much fun. I couldn't wait to be back.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm very happy. Although, if you'd have brought that up any sooner, you would have heard some interesting vocals on my part.
I'm not sure if I actually know what I'm doing.
No.
So we have our first guests, Tom and Harry from TOWIE. Hello.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Very good, thank you.
Excited to now be new cast members?
Yeah, I've got to say yes, didn't I?
Yeah, exactly.
Excited or nervous?
No, obviously it's been a little while now, so you've started to get used to things a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was excited, but now I've sort of settled into it a little bit.
You feel like you know what you're doing now?
It's not even that you know what you're doing, because you're not like an actor or anything. It is
That's true.
Normal life, but you just learn to deal with the scenarios a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And dealing with the cameras as well.
Do you know if you'll be back for the next series, or do you plan it?
Well, you find that just before, but I'm pretty sure we will, because we've only had one series and now we've both sort of got things happening on there, so...
Yeah, that would have been a bummer if you didn't like any of the girls or...
The thing is, the girls there are the girls there, do you know what I'm saying? They're not going to constantly bring on new girls, but luckily for us, we actually both found like girls that we've had a connection with of some sort, so...
Yeah. And it is genuine as well, like, it ain't just for like a storyline, like... We actually take these girls out off camera, do you know what I mean? Like, I went to Brighton, I went away with Chloe, and you've been going around Shelby's flat lately, haven't you?
Mate, you're not allowed to say nothing.
I mean, before she kicks out.
Is that being quite hard, trying to keep stuff secret when you know...
Well, it is when you've got some prat like him sitting next to you, isn't it? Yes and no. Like, obviously, wherever you go, I get that question all the time now. So...
What, like, what's happening? Like, what's going
on? All the time, wherever you go. So, I don't know, you sort of get a little bit used to that, but you're not really supposed to. Obviously, people will find out for themselves.
And if she does sack you off,
yeah,
who else is on your list? Because obviously you made your list before you went on.
I'm just going to be knocking about Harry, am I?
Well, we're dealing with my problems with me. There always is with Clive as well.
I know, he's always got a problem. To be fair, it's the end of the series, really, so... We wouldn't be seeing all the girls for a while anyway. So, I don't know, if I got sacked off, then I don't know, what can I do? I'm fucked, innit?
To put it lightly, yeah. No, that's fair enough.
But there ain't, like, if you're a single fella on that show, there's not really much to choose from with girls as well.
Some girls
like
have
there needs to be a few more newbies coming on as well.
Yeah.
But that usually causes some trouble when that happens.
It needs to, because...
We all get on
very well at the minute.
Yeah,
when we're at events, like I heard like a few years ago, people were like kept apart because it was going to kick off. Now we're all like drinking together, like having a laugh. I think there needs to be a little bit more
people joining on people's lives.
Yeah.
So are you going to bring the drama?
Next series.
Yeah.
Is that what your aim
100%.
Is?
100%.
Once Brockett swerves in.
Are you like good cop, bad cop? Is that what it is?
No, we're both, I'd say we're both good cop.
Yeah.
But we have a little twist.
Do you know what it is, yeah? Like, we're both nice boys, but at the same time, I'd never let someone take the piss at me. So...
I think that's quite an Essex trait.
I don't know, it's just one of them things. Like, in life, you've got to treat people with respect and be nice, whatever, but at the same time, sometimes people can take kindness for weakness. So you've got to have a little bit of a streak in you where you don't let that happen, basically.
Talking about the type of guys that you are, I saw that you wrote that you got the best chat of all the new lads. Or someone told me that you said that you got the best chat of all that. Is that, do you believe that?
Not a chance.
I don't know where that come from, to be fair, because I can't remember saying it, but...
You probably said it in some pre-interview with a producer, but then...
I do... Yeah, I'm having myself, yeah. You gotta. Someone's gotta do it, mate.
So, if you've got the best chat, I want to hear your best pickup line.
Oh, do you know what I mean? I don't really... I usually just smile.
Is that all it takes?
Yeah. That's not a chat!
Well, that's all it takes sometimes.
Do you know what, though? I don't think... I'm not really a cheesy chat-up line kind of guy.
Okay.
I think, like, the first thing you've got to get is eye contact. What's that saying? What was we talking about before? Is it saying, like, if you get eye contact with someone for over how long?
3 seconds.
It means that they're on you, doesn't it? What was we seeing?
I know. I've
it's
seen
like
that
it's lingering.
Yeah.
Like a lingering.
Yeah, if I'm out and I get eye contact with someone, it was a long time, or you get eye contact and you keep getting eye contact, you know straight away, like, there's something happening, so then I'd go over there.
Yeah.
And just start having a conversation, basically.
Yeah.
But I'm not like
you're not
cheesy.
Get your coat, love, you've pulled.
No. I'm not,
he will go up to a girl in a club and like go for it. Like, see me, I'm quite like laid back, sort of give a little look.
You're the smooth dealer.
He literally goes, boom. Yeah. He's like Cobra, yeah.
Well, neither of you should be doing that anymore because you both got ladies.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I'm talking about the past here.
Behave.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate
thanks
it.
Having us.
I'm sure we'll be tuning in on Sunday. What time is it?
9 ITVB.
Good.
9 o'clock.
Well done.
Giddy up. You're listening to Fubar Radio. You can buy that. For the bass and the hi-hat. You can buy that. For the bass and the hi-hat. I'ma make you bounce till your hip hurts. Make you work. Sweat till you drench your blouse and your skirt. Well, I'ma flip it till you pass out. Till you cash out. Baby, till you back out. Keep banging. Oh, need a leg you make you say ho. S&P. Everybody put your hands in the sky. Giddy up, giddy up. That's how. Giddy up, baby. Giddy up, giddy up. Give me all that you got. Baby, don't stop. Keep it coming strong. Make it hot, say what. Giddy up, baby. Giddy up, giddy up. Give me all that you got. Baby, don't stop. Keep it coming strong. Make it hot, say what. Giddy up, baby. I'ma take you for a ride. Bitch, so wide when I release the vibe. Beat you down. Hit ya, thought yeah. Non-stop, stop, lift ya. Make you wanna get your stash. Going like the wind, no need. Word. Got my own end. Player haters never win. Cause I'm a ball to the end. Send a chill up your skin. Poppy, who the fake, not me. Can't take what I got, can't stop me. Still the vibe, ride, bass slide. Yo, can't fight it, ho. Let it flow, run the move. Show and prove, we can do this. Shake a groove thing, hold tight, ain't nothing to this. Wanna get down with skills, my man's no frills. Feels ill, don't it? Giddy up, baby. Giddy up, giddy up. Give me all that you got. Baby, don't stop. Keep it coming strong. Make it hot, say what? Giddy up, baby. Giddy up, giddy up. Give me all that you got. Baby, don't stop. Keep it coming strong. Make it hot, say what? Keep it hot like a block full of hustlers. Who can make it blaze like us? Bless you to death. Wanna freak me from the back? Girl, I even play like that. Right. Keep it coming strong, give me all that you got.
Yo, true baller, don't stop.
I throw it like a pitcher. Let my sex appeal picture. Game so sharp that it split you. Play a word, keep it styling, oil.
I've been hooked since you was a hoy.
Can nobody do it this time?
Say what?
Pet be the bomb, that's right. Look at all the pay trying to get with me. Sit with me. Yo, it ain't shh to me. I'ma party till I see the sunrise. Let's do the beat, the party line. Keep it coming, baby. Giddy up, baby.
Giddy up, giddy up. Give me all that you got.
Baby, don't stop.
Keep it coming strong.
Make it hot, say what. Giddy up, baby.
Giddy up, giddy up. Give me all that you got.
Baby, don't stop.
Keep it coming strong.
Make it hot, say what. Giddy up, baby.
Give me that S&P, that sweet, that focus.
When the moves down, homie, put your rules down, homie. Can't lose now, come on. Can you break it down to the bone? Boo, you acting like you grown. Boy, I take you home. Watch out. You better move. Giddy up, baby.
Giddy up, giddy up. Give me all that you got.
Baby, don't stop.
Keep it coming strong.
Make it hot, say what? Giddy up, baby.
Giddy up, giddy up.
presents Harriet Rose. Elle Devine is in the studio with me right now, babes.
Hello. Like, my best friend Niall was really into music and I just like to copy everything he did, but like try and do it better. So I was really competitive as a child, so that's how I kind of got into music at first. We'd like played in little bands and stuff just in my spare bedroom, and like we took the mattress off the bed frame and then like performed on the bed frame stage and got our other friend to like flick the lights on and off, and it was like special.
That's
effect.
Absolutely sick.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was sold out show.
Whoa.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. Molly Rainford, welcome.
Hello.
Did you know, I don't think you know this, but this week you are our champion of the week.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty sick.
You've dropped already two songs this year, three songs this year.
Yeah,
because we're gonna play actually in a minute Long Run.
Yes.
So let's have a chat about that, because you wrote that with Plan B, right?
I did,
which is really cool. Great musician, great,
so
writer,
good.
Doing a lot in the music industry,
yes,
behind the scenes right now. So let's talk a little bit about, you penned it with him. What was the, how did you guys get together? Was it just a studio session? How did it work?
It was really random. So Plan B, he said that sometimes it goes through playlists, like you said, and he just like sees who he likes. If he feels a track, he's like, oh, maybe I'll work with you. And he just shouted us and was like, oh, let's have a session.
Sick.
And I was like, no way. And then the first session, we write Long Run, which is crazy.
God.
And his voice,
it's
so soulful. I was like, I need a bit of that. Mm-hmm. I need a bit of that, mm-hmm, in my songs.
I can, because it's so high as well.
I know.
Because what that song he did where he's in the courtroom.
Yeah. What a banger.
But, I mean, and also the vocal like range, melody range. Whoa.
I know.
What a fun guy to work in the studio
with. Oh, it was so cool. And he's so relaxed.
Is he?
Like, he's such a chilled guy. Like, I was just like vibing,
yeah,
singing some melodies, having a little chat, like... It was fun.
Yeah, and I think that's what we all want to hear. When, but the thing is, Long Run did really well. Like, mm-hmm, people really got hooked on it.
Yeah, I think because it definitely has a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know? And I think people like hearing that kind of almost 90s.
It was, for me, it was like Brandy, Aaliyah, straight away.
Yes.
It was like, oh my God.
Love that.
No, 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 no. It was really very reminiscent of an R&B. And I am a 90s R&B girl, like through and through.
Me too.
But I feel like you're becoming a bit of the hook queen in the studio.
I love that.
These,
I'm
hooks,
using that.
Banging out the hook.
That's going to be my Instagram name.
Yeah.
The hook queen.
Oh my God, please. That is what you need to call yourself, 110%. But does it feel good that you've like launched yourself as a solo artist? You're on this journey making pop bangers. Does it feel good that they're hitting and they're landing?
Honestly, because you just never know what's going to happen. Like, you don't know if 10 people are going to listen or 1,000 people are going to listen. So it's just been, I've just been excited to be releasing, because I feel like I've been in the studio all the time and I'm always writing, but no one's really hearing the writing, you know? So it's nice that finally people are listening.
I know you only know being 18 years old.
Yes.
But at the moment, how does it feel working in the music industry at 18? Does it feel any type of way?
Well, it just feels weird because I'll be going into sessions of people who are definitely a bit older than me.
Yeah.
But I still feel like I'm on that level. I don't know. Maybe I'm matured because I'm always around loads of people that are a bit older, but I just feel like we're all on the same wave.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's very starkly obvious when someone is not mature. I was just saying to you how vocally mature you sound.
Yes.
Because you were just saying you recorded I Like You when you were 17.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's crazy because you don't sound, and I was talking about Isaac Dunbar, who we played a minute ago, who's 15, 16, and it's about how you project your voice and how you sound.
Totally. I mean, I've always been listening to like big divas as well as the 90s stuff, so maybe that's kind of influence, and maybe that's made the...
You're a big diva, are you, Molly?
Well, I'm not a diva, but
not
I
yet.
Enjoy that sound. Not yet.
tell me what big divas you like.
Well, I mean, I'm biggest Beyonce fan going, but then also love like Etta James, Aretha Franklin. I mean, who doesn't?
The people that probably inspired Beyonce,
yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's good to be inspired by powerful women in the industry. As a young woman in the industry coming into it, you know, you need to take those levels. It's been so lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you.
We've had a great show today. Make sure you go and catch up on the website, www.fubarradio.com. This week you are...
You are champion.
Molly Rainford is the champion.
Wow.
Does that feel amazing or does it feel like I don't care?
No, that feels pretty crazy. Like hearing the champion in my ear, honestly.
Shall I do it again?
Yeah, please.
I can keep playing that for as long as you want.
Yeah, keep going. Just play us out.
Molly Rainford, here we go. You never knew she was a diva until she made me sit for a minute and play You Are the Champion. Molly, thank you so, so much. Hopefully we'll see you again very, very soon.
Indeed.
Will you come back and see us? When you
tomorrow.
Won't forget about us. Yes!
Tomorrow.
She's going to be my new co-host. All right, thank you, Molly. We'll
thank
see you,
you
soon.
Hi, we're Nemo. We just got off the Harriet Rose show on FUBAR Radio. Harriet's the best. We wish we could do all our radio shows with Harriet. We were just saying it.
FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're now joined in the studio by professional actor Rebecca Staton.
Well done, that's exactly how you say it.
Oh, it's time for the game.
Yes.
I'd name some people and you have to say whether the next person is better or worse than the person before, based entirely on my own opinion.
Okay. What, on your opinion?
Yeah.
Oh, how do I know what your opinion is?
That's it.
That's exciting.
Sandra Bullock, is she better or worse than Benicio Del Toro?
Oh,
I think she's better.
Yay!
I like this game.
Every Friday.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 PM. FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio by Michael O'Hare, the man behind the curtain. Did you get that a lot?
What? The Nimma restaurant?
The man behind
the man behind the curtain. Actually, never. This is the first time that's ever happened. Genuinely. Mm.
Genuinely? Yeah. Oh.
He's the man from Uncle.
Yeah, I thought, bloody hell, the headlines of... I also thought that if there was ever a scandal, they'd say Uncle Fucker. But, you know, someone's telling their story to the... But I'm actually quite well behaved and my career never got to that level.
So you never fucked your uncle.
I never fucked my uncle, and I want that to go on the record. Can we have that as
he
a
didn't.
Little
actually
jingle?
He didn't.
I absolutely did. 100%.
Yeah, but did he
didn't.
Fuck you?
Anyway, so
it's a
how
very
is,
different thing. How isn't it?
So what are you doing in London?
what are you doing in London? So the man behind the curtain is a restaurant that you created own. I don't understand the restaurant industry. I eat in restaurants, but I don't really understand all of the terminology. But so your restaurant is in Leeds.
Yeah,
I told you the story about me and David Trent coming eat at your restaurant before.
Yeah, you guys came on the wrong day or something.
We came a week early. It's a good story, which is in my show, Eat Your Heart Out with Nick Helm. So watch that episode, the Leeds episode. But so your restaurant is above a clothes shop, isn't
no
it?
Man, we've moved since you've been.
You've actually moved?
Yeah,
what, so buildings?
No, same building, but we were on the top floor of a clothes shop, and then I've taken kind of the rear entrance and the entire basement, so it's twice the size as when you came.
So you're not upstairs anymore?
No, downstairs.
So you go, but you still go in. It's sort of like
nothing to do with that clothes shop. Like, you have your own entrance, there's no security, anything like that.
Oh, I think I'd enjoy that a lot more.
Yeah,
in terms of. Well, I felt very judged.
On what you're wearing?
By the clothes people, people in the clothes shop.
So is it quite a trendy clothes shop or something? What's this?
It was like getting into, like, a capitalist bat cave. You go into a Michelin-starred restaurant through a posh clothes shop. That was it, really. But you don't do that now.
No. Own entrance, new space, bigger, miles better. Miles better.
I watched Great British Met. That's my favourite food show. Well, that's my favourite TV show almost. Did you watch the late? Do you watch it?
I don't, I'll be honest with you.
You were on it?
I know, yeah.
Do you know that?
I was semi-conscious for that, but yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's quite formulaic, right?
Really formulaic. And I think what is becoming increasingly obvious.
Absolutely no chance I'm going on next year. It's a bit shit, isn't it? Big formulaic.
Well, they won't listen to this.
No,
no one listens
we're
to this.
We're under the radar.
But your prize is that Martin Kemp gets to eat something that you made.
Martin Kemp wasn't at my banquet.
No, but he was at the last one.
He was.
He's a nice guy.
I was at that banquet. It was good.
I know. I saw you talking like a teacher on the last day of term.
Oh, was
it? Yeah. What I find really just absolutely mind-boggling about that is that, well, it must be part of the show, deliberately. They're always just like, oh, so you've learnt how to make these dishes in your kitchen, and now you're in a strange kitchen. and like, oh, the ice cream maker's not working. Oh, yeah, stress.
Yeah, a bit of jeopardy.
And then you get to fucking the Natural History Museum and
there is no kitchen.
It's overcast and it's raining, and the space that they've had for a kitchen is a 500 metre jog from the diners. And it's kind of like, it's like the worst possible conditions to make the food that they've made.
Yeah, it's done deliberately, but I think that's what's maybe wrong with that show, if I was to critique it. And it's, for me, and I look at it as a professional chef, I don't look at it as like a BBC viewer, but it's not the platform that it once was for like top chefs to excel and, you know, show themselves.
It's
up,
like
show
a challenge show.
Yeah, it is. It's like Krypton Factor or something.
So you're put in an environment where you're not set up to... Like, it's not... The Natural History Museum isn't a kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a museum. It's
like, you've got to build your own kitchen, or you've got to go and drive and get some goats or something. Life's not that hard, you know?
Abbey Road Studio's got a microwave and a kettle, and it's just like, go on, fill your boots. And it's just kind of like, what? And so basically they've got to build a kitchen. So all the chefs for this one, it just went... All the chefs got there on the day before the banquet, and they couldn't prep. Because they hadn't built the kitchen, so they were building the kitchen, and then people were like coming in there. Well, it's probably the only chance you'll get to look around Abbey Road Studio. So why don't you have a good old look around Abbey Road Studio? And the chefs are like, don't give a fuck, mate. Don't give a fuck. I'm going to be embarrassed in like 24 hours.
It was like, but, it's a sick place to be. Have you been in there?
Abbey Road.
Yeah. So cool. Like,
well, then Michael Legg went. There was photos of Michael Legg that was, he's another comedian that was that. Like had a tour of Abbey Road. He touched the machine that they did Sergeant Pepper on.
Right.
that's not my words. That's Michael Legg.
I was sat with Manny from the Stone Roses, and he'd been chucked out of like Abbey Road, kicked out for pissing on the piano, pissing on John Lennon's piano years ago. So having this conversation, it's my favourite thing from that entire day. Talking about pissing on this piano, and Simone, a friend, says to like Peter Hook, what's like the most rock and roll thing you've pissed on, Peter? Rod Stewart. Fucking me. I'm pissed on Rod Stewart. He's pissed on Rod Stewart. That's fucking class, isn't it? That's so much better than a boiled egg or whatever you're getting at a banquet, isn't it?
Hi, I'm Ingrid Oliver, and I've just done Nick and Nathaniel's fan club. I did enjoy myself, although I got no eye contact from Nick for the first, I'd say, 20 minutes, which doesn't make for a great discussion, to be honest. But Nathaniel was very nice, so he made off with it.
Listening to Fubar Radio.
Yeah. You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.